The Economic Alliance presents the Gulf Coast Grow Show, recording from the Shell Studio, with your hosts, Jason Lee and Clint Aiken. Our mission is to highlight stakeholders and activities that drive the Houston Port Region's economy.
All right, and welcome to the Gulf Coast Growth Show. I'm your host, Jason Lee, with my co-host,
Clint Aiken.
And we are here with Commissioner Adrian Garcia from Harris County Precinct 2. And before we dive in into you, a little bit about your background, where you came from, a little bit about what you're going to share with us folks today and our audience, want to hit on the topics of the show today. I think we're going to focus a little bit on the importance of industry, working in industry.
That's right.
I think how it ties into workforce development, and we know that's really critical, and you play a significant role in advocacy for that,
right?
And then we're going to talk about health,
yep.
Which I'm, being in the health industry for 20 years.
I understand. Yeah.
I'm a fan, right?
Yeah.
I believe you can't do anything without it. And I also believe there's some people who are underserved when it comes to health. And
absolutely.
I think getting education, communication out there is important. So,
absolutely.
So before we dive in, just to kind of frame up some things, I would love, I got a chance for you to kind of educate me a little bit before the show. But, I think our audience would want to better understand. Tell us a little bit about the day in the life of a commissioner, and maybe about your background. Just kind of give us a quick synopsis
of who you are
and what you do, and then we'll dive into our topics.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me on the show. And as the county commissioner, county government is often not a very, very talked about level of our government, but it's one of the most critical roles of government that we have. So just a quick snapshot of what I'm in part responsible for. It's setting the budget for all countywide offices. So from the county attorney's office to the district attorney's office to the sheriff's budget to the constables, to the flood control district, to the hospital district, to our public health department, to our pollution control department, participating with Metro. Those are just some of the things.
Just a few.
So I cast a vote on what is often called, what's called Commissioner's Court, but it's not a court. It's essentially your county city hall.
Okay.
And I am a council member, in effect, although the title is commissioner, I'm basically a council member for the county. So we have four district council members, four commissioners. I am one of them. And then we have a county judge who's not a judge, but she's the presiding officer of the county city hall.
Yeah.
And so, but as it relates specifically to the precinct, what's the daily life? It can be anything from dealing with Imelda, the horrible event that we got from Imelda, and dealing with the flood and the recovery and the aftermath of all that, and then all the bureaucracy of making sure that people's homes are counted so that we can go to FEMA and say we need some recovery resources here. It can be, we have an exciting announcement coming up about our transportation system in East Harris County. A lot of people don't realize that in my precinct, we are almost entirely outside of the metro service area.
Oh, wow.
So our folks don't have effective access to public transportation. So we've worked over the year to develop a system that our citizens can benefit from. And then it is, working with industry, as you touched on. I've got so many critical partners in the in my precinct. I've got about 1,300,000 folks that live in Precinct 2.
Oh my gosh, wow.
And over 500 square miles. And so we,
sorry to interrupt. What percentage of Houston is that?
It's basically a fourth.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
wow.
Okay. Basically a fourth. Well, a fourth of Harris County.
Right.
Houston is about 2.2 million. Harris County proper is 4.4.
Wow.
Okay.
And that's with the 2010 census. We don't know what the 2020 census is going to bring.
Right. Right. It's bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It is. And I often tell my staff that, having grown up and lived my entire life in Harris County, This is not the county of our great grandparents.
No. Oh, no.
We are now an urban county, and so we have all the challenges that come with that kind of growth, which is a good thing. But industry in particular is so critical because in my backyard is the Port of Houston. In my backyard is NASA. Making sure that we are doing all things possible to ensure that products get into the port as quickly as possible, products get off the ships as quickly as possible, and products get onto the trucks and into the stores as quickly as possible. It's all tied into our economy.
Wow.
And so all of those things are in part the daily work that confronts me on any morning.
That's a big undertaking.
And that's right? Assuming it's a normal day.
Right. That's a normal day. Right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So, those are the planned events.
Exactly.
And so the unplanned events.
Your background has been in service, right? So I mean, when I use the term service, people might misinterpret that, but because it's a broad term, but really I view people in your role as serving, because you spend your entire life trying to figure out how do I make the citizens their lives better.
Exactly. Right?
And I think you did that before for a long time.
That's correct.
Tell us about that. Prior to that, you did what?
23 years as a Houston policeman. I started my career in 1980. Thank you. And you know, I appreciate it, Brian. Before the show, you shared a bit of the word with us, and that's important right now because, you know, we lost a Houston police officer, Sergeant Brewster. Then we recently lost another officer in Nassau Bay. Mm-hmm. And then prior to that, we lost a deputy in Sandeep Dhaliwal. And so we have really, and then we just recently lost a firefighter to cancer who had a very high profile battle with his benefits and things of that nature. So those who are running to things that typically most people run from, it is a service. And in the role that I carry today, if that's not the attitude you have, then you ought to get out of the role.
Absolutely.
I thought you did it for the money.
Yes. Right.
Not true at all.
It's like I tell scout leaders, you do it for the money.
Yeah.
But it's an important role, and so my career started as a Houston police officer. Worked the beat for many years, worked night shift, worked in the organized crime squad, worked in the anti-gang office, became the director of the city's anti-gang office, appointed by, at first brought in as the liaison from the police department by Mayor Lanier, and then appointed by Mayor Brown. And then I decided to do something much more dangerous than police work, and that was to run for public office. And I got elected to Houston City Council. And alongside Mayor Bill White, got to serve with him and his chief of staff, Michael Moore. And Mayor White appointed me as the mayor pro tem, or effectively the vice mayor of the city. You know, it's like the president and the vice president. Something happens to the president, then you step up the role. But the mayor was too well liked. Nobody wanted to hurt him. So I never got a real role to be the mayor, opportunity to be the mayor. But it was a great experience because you, as the Mayor Pro Tem, you're in those meetings, those director meetings, and so you're really learning how to make the sausage. And then I wanted to contribute back to law enforcement, so I ran to serve as the sheriff of Harris County, third largest in America, largest in Texas. We had a lot of challenges at that time, and I'm grateful for the work that we accomplished, controlling the budget, saving over $200 million, putting 200 new deputies on the street, building a SWAT team, building a helicopter patrol unit, and so much more. And so now as the county commissioner, I get to support the sheriff and support his efforts to make our county safer and better, in the place that people want to live and work and play.
And that's awesome. Well, first of all, before we go any further, I want to thank you for all your years of service.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, politics aside, because I know it's a touchy subject for people, it doesn't matter what role, if you go out and serve like you have and you've been in that role, it deserves
your
gratitude.
Well, thank you.
The story.
Thank
you. With that being said, I think that helps our audience understand the scope of what you do. Also helps them understand part of our topics today, and that you probably know a little bit about the stuff you're messing with.
Yeah.
Our citizens.
Exactly.
Our
you're qualified.
You're qualified. You meet the bill for the show. We're going to let it pass. That being said, a reminder to our audience, we are advocates for our region and the things that take place on a regular basis. So we're thankful that that we can help bring to their knowledge just how much goes into the role.
Yeah.
Because I think, and my encouragement to everybody is to seek knowledge in our local government and
that's
the work
correct.
That's taking place. Reach out
and
to them
and likewise,
understand them. Right.
And likewise, you know, those of us in government who may not have worked in the industry, we ought to be talking to the industry to learn how we can be supportive and make sure that if we're trying to implement policy or legislation, that it doesn't have an adverse impact.
Yeah, no, I was at an event last week, and I was telling the guys, like, I think we're going to have Adrian Garcia on our show next week. And he goes, well, sit down. I got to tell you all the stuff I need you to talk to Adrian about.
Right.
I said, that's Adrian's my boy. I said, he's coming on the show, man. But, yeah, you can buy me a beer. So, right. I was kidding. Didn't work that way. But let's go ahead and dive into the topics.
Sure.
So we got a couple things lined up, and I think the first thing we were going to talk about is a little bit on health.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a big topic for you, and you've been doing some great behind-the-scenes work. So tell our audience a little bit about what's going on with that.
Well, you know, as we were discussing early, you know, Precinct 2 is a phenomenal place. I mean, East Harris County has got so much to be shared with everybody. It's a gym. It's a place to live. We've got incredible families and businesses in the area, but it also has some challenges. And so here are some of the things that wake me up and in the middle of the night but motivate me when my feet hit the ground every morning. And that is that Precinct 2 has amongst the lowest medium income of all of Harris County.
Okay.
And we have amongst the lowest medium income of all of Harris County. We have amongst the lowest home ownership rate in Harris County. We have amongst the highest number of children and families without health insurance. We have amongst the highest rates of diagnosed cancer amongst children and adults. And so, you know, and then as we were talking about HCA, you know, we had a partnership with HCA with the East Houston Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they flooded for the third time. Ugh. And realized that it was just a bad place to have an operation.
Right.
So we lost that partnership. And so people are now overrunning Pasadena a bit, they're overrunning Baytown a bit, they're having to go up to Crosby, or they're having to trek all the way in to the medical center to get access. So understanding all that, it's motivated me to make sure that as a healthcare baby myself, that we are working with all the respective entities to ensure that we've got the proper system in place in a vulnerable area like Precinct 2, with the demographic challenges that we have, to ensure that at least people get access to some of the best quality care that they can possibly get. And, you know, in fact, if you recall during the ITC fire,
mm-hmm.
You know, people were concerned with the plume.
Yeah.
And then I hosted right here in Deer Park a couple of days where the public health department was available to take, you know, blood pressure readings and other, you know, basic checks. We got over 1,000 people. The staff was supposed to be there till 7 p.m. They stayed there till midnight. We did have to transport several folks to the hospital. Now, in all fairness to ITC, they didn't create that.
Mm-hmm.
But ITC, that event scared people, and it made their existing conditions much more evident. And it was just another example of the issues that are existent in the community and how we should be understanding that and then making sure that we bring the resources
right
to the extent that we can.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, I think that coincides with, you know, just education and knowledge, right? And so having a leadership role where someone who's focused on it can then, you know, go be an advocate for it.
That's correct.
Means that people are going to listen. I mean, that's really what it boils down
yeah.
to. It isn't important until it becomes important.
Exactly.
And that's usually how that works.
Exactly. And you know, with us having a strong, you know, blue-collar community, then I want to make sure that, you know, we're grateful for those folks that are doing those important jobs, but they shouldn't have to, you know, struggle to find proper care. And I want to make sure that people understand that the reason healthcare is important to me is because a healthy community is also a strong economy.
Right.
Because if people can't get to work, then we all suffer from that. And so I want to make sure that, you know, as I work on these things, they're all interrelated as far as I'm concerned, because I want to make sure that our economy remains strong and vibrant and relevant at the, you know, state and national and global level. But I have to also make sure that that workforce is capable of doing that work to the extent that their families don't suffer.
So you just mentioned that in regards to the economy, but so with my background in wellness, for years we would educate companies on the importance of getting their employees involved in health and monitoring their health and health fairs and things of that nature, because it was critical. And then you could actually, there was tons of data to support the cost effectiveness. So you're investing in that is thousands and thousands of work hours that were being saved, that you could get that person back on the job because
That's
they're
right.
taking care of their health.
That's absolutely
and we don't talk, we don't think about the effect, right? This kid's not being taught today how to take care of his health. 20 years from now, those are tax dollars because you're having to pay for their medical stuff that they can't afford. They simply can't go to work.
Emergency rooms,
right.
Paramedics.
Right. Right, so it's kind of getting to the root cause.
Yeah.
Right, that's fantastic. Well, we're excited about that.
So, I want folks to know that at some point, and we'll ask for your help with this, we're going to be hosting a health summit. And it'll be sometime in February. We're still trying to nail down the date. But this will be an opportunity for us to invite leaders in the healthcare arena to come and visit with me and others. And let's go through the disparity study that the Public Health Department has provided and understand how we eat this elephant. You know, and I've always believed that if we get everybody at the table, everybody picks up a fork, we can solve this thing.
Yeah. And so bring your best practices to the table.
Exactly.
Let's get good answers.
Exactly. Exactly. And then see how we can share the cost and make sure that we're not duplicating services or operations that make it burdensome on everybody.
Yeah. Right. Well, we don't want them picking up the fork.
Right.
We're working against the fork. You got to get a different analogy.
It's one of those appetizer forks.
Pick up the glass of water.
There you go.
Yeah. So now that's exciting, and I look forward to being a part of that. And actually, I'd be excited to try to help you find the right people to help.
Oh, good, good. So,
yeah.
We welcome it.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, I know you're an advocate for hiring local workforce industry, the folks that we go out and support. You did mention our region is made up a lot of people who maybe don't, you know, we need housing, we're our median income. There's also a lot of people making good money in the plants and the jobs mm-hmm. and things that they're doing. But we got tradespeople. There's just a lot of hard work.
I call them gold collar. They may be turning a wrench, but they're making really good money turning
that
wrench.
But then we need more.
Yeah,
but I mean, that's the reality of it. We need people who need jobs, and we need to support local jobs. So tell us about your role and what you're doing with
Absolutely.
That.
And in fact, I stay very, very connected to those in the various trades industry, whether plumbers, electricians, masons, whatever the case may be. I want to make sure that we're supporting their efforts and ensuring that their work is respected with all the other work that we're doing in the county. So when it relates to the county contracts that we're implementing, we want to make sure that those trades have the right salary schedules within the contracts so that it continues to support the overall quality of life for everyone. But it's also important to recognize that going back to the port, you know, deepening and widening the port is priority number one. It should be priority number one for anyone that's an elected official in the Harris County region. You don't even have to, I mean, a Montgomery County elected official, a Fort Bend County elected official, a Chambers and Liberty County elected official should be supporting deepening and widening the port. And with that, we have to make sure that the workforce is there.
Right.
So I'm talking to area superintendents from the various the 13 different school districts that I have, to ensure that we're having a conversation about how to feed those students who want to consider these type of careers, and making sure that we're doing all the things necessary to move them in the right direction. I'm also working with the unions to ensure that they're part of that conversation, because they provide a lot of training, a lot of certification, and I want to make sure that they're part of the team to support this. But it's also understanding, you know, when I was a sheriff, I would always look at the folks in my jail and think about, if I can get that person to quit being part of that revolving door,
right,
then the
break that cycle.
Yeah, the community gets safer and that individual gets better.
Right.
And so I had a back then I recognized that a lot of our or some of the port jobs were hard welders. I mean, they were hard jobs, but good paying jobs.
Yes.
And some of the folks that were in the county jail aren't bad people. They just made dumb mistakes.
Sure.
And so
poor decisions.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I had a conversation in one case with the CEO of UP Rail Lines, and I told him, I said, look, I got some knuckleheads that if they get a good job, they'll be more thoughtful about the things that they do.
Right.
And he supported me.
Wow.
And so we ended up being able to create a process by which some inmates were certified through our process as commercial welders, and then they got $20 an hour starting jobs.
Nice. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. And so all of this feeds together, and so we have to find ways to make sure that those industry jobs that if we don't pay attention to and figure out how to fill and make sure that there's a pipeline into it, then deepen and widen the board, we can get all the funding for it. But if we don't have the people to do it,
right,
then we're going to be sitting on a ton of cash, and then our port will become less relevant. And that is a dangerous place for us to be.
Right.
So I've always, one thing that I learned early on as I started getting more involved, not only with this organization, ABC, a couple of the other ones where they're advocates for their stakeholders, is as you go to meeting an event, there's always somebody championing their thing. You know, we need to dredge the San Jacinto River. We need to do the port. We need to, some guy up in Conroe was talking about fixing Lake Conroe.
Right.
You know, everybody wanted to talk about their particular deal. And I think you said something as you were telling every other legislator, hey, we all got to get on board on this thing. Tell me about that process. Like, do you guys communicate? How do you pick up the phone and call these guys, or y'all come together in some secret tower somewhere? Y'all fly in on the same helicopter you came in on?
Don't tell anybody. We have recently met at the Monument Inn.
Okay.
And so, you know, we do. You got to get together. In fact, I want to thank the Bay Area Alliance, because thanks to Chad Burke, I was part of the delegation that went up to D.C. earlier this year to visit with Senator Cornyn and others to talk about the issues that are important to us and the support that we need from them. And then we recently did meet at the Monument Inn, because I brought the mayors of my precinct together. I got 15 cities in the precinct. And we brought the mayors from Seabrook, from El Lago, from Taylor Lake, and Shore Acres, and Baytown, to have a conversation about the coastal spine or the Bay Park, and just have that conversation. And so when people say, well, what do you think, Commissioner? I go, I'm going to visit with my mayors and see where that that conversation is at. And we had a very good conversation. Questions and concerns were addressed. But that's the process. It's sometimes a little slow, more than I would care for. But also earlier this year, related to that conversation, I hosted a community forum where I brought together the Army Corps of Engineers, Texas A&M, and Rice University, to have a conversation about their respective plans for what they all believe to be the solution for our storm surge challenges. Because all those conversations relate to protecting the industry. Storm surge is obviously a concern for the city and the surrounding communities, but it's principally an issue that we need resolved to protect our oil and gas industry that's along the ship channel in the Port of Houston. And so Earlier this year, we had about 400 people that filled a San Jack auditorium and let the three entities share their projects. And what was neat about that was that between the Army Corps of Engineers and the Speed Center that's out of Rice University, there was the emergence of this. We're not saying don't fund that one and ours is the only project. We're saying we're all part of the equation.
Yeah, right.
Because we don't need one solution. We need several solutions,
right,
to effectively protect the area. So that's the approach I generally like to take, is to bring people together, have a conversation, visit with others. And just as an example, Port Neches just had a challenge over there with the explosion of one of their plants. And I picked up the phone. I called County Judge Brannick and said, what can we do? How can we help you? We've been through this. Let us know if you need anything. And he was so grateful with that call. Just last night, I saw Commissioner Prestige out of Fort Bend County.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to get out and have a conversation with all these folks, because we need to be on a first name basis, because we're all part of the same economy, we're all part of the same region, and we ought to be supporting each other.
Yeah, amen. Well, we grow together, right?
That's right.
If one of us starts getting too strong, then someone else is going to suffer in the area. If we all can grow together,
that's right.
Everyone wins.
That's exactly
my favorite
right.
game. Everybody wins.
Right. I love it. I like to play that game.
Yeah.
Well, usually at the we take a commercial break and from the show, and then we'll come back and ask a little bit about some more of your passions and things that you're interested in. But before we shift off of workforce development and the health, is there anything specific that we didn't capture or miss that you want to make sure our audience hears before we shift gears?
You know, there's some announcements coming up related to transportation, which is a part of the economy, which is a part of health.
Okay.
So that'll be coming up. Okay. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag just yet.
Great.
But we will invite you. And then also, if you are a part of the healthcare industry, please pay attention to the health summit that we will be holding in February.
Right, nice. This guy's a professional. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, he's good. All right, well, we'll go to commercial real quick with our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
McCarthy Building Companies. From the Museum of Fine Arts to terminals on the Houston Ship Channel, we understand the challenges and complexities you face when building here in the Gulf Coast region. As the oldest privately held national construction company, we have a clear focus on clients, community, and collaboration. Just to give you some context, our Houston-based business does 15 to 20 projects per year. We are employee-owned with over 2,000 employees throughout the U.S. and 250 in the Houston area. For more information on McCarthy Building Companies, please visit www.mccarthy.com.
We are back and from commercial, and thank you again to our sponsors. And
absolutely.
Again, we're here with Commissioner Adrian Garcia from Harris County Precinct 2.
Hey, Adrian works. I'm not full of myself. So. Adrian works.
All right. So I'm going to turn this part of the show over to my co-host Clint. He's going to dive in a little bit about some of your passions, some of the things that some big news, that you have going from
you.
There. So, and then we'll wrap up the show.
Yeah. Before the break, there's another big announcement that y'all were going to make that we didn't quite get to. So, y'all had recently extended some routes. Can you give us a little more insight about
sure.
that?
Sure. You know, transportation for me is such a critical and essential thing for so many people.
Mm-hmm.
It means whether or not they can get to their doctor's appointment, whether they can get to the pharmacy to pick up their prescription, whether they can go to their job and as a result keep their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And but as I mentioned earlier, East Harris County is almost entirely outside of the metro service area. So we don't have metro buses running through the area. But we were strategic and innovative in creating some routes with the Harris transit system. And so using nearly $4 million of Harvey recovery dollars,
mm-hmm.
in a resiliency context, we have expanded 5 routes in the Channel View Highlands area to ensure that people in that area will have access
wow.
to some transportation that then will feed into the metro service system.
Nice.
And that way, they, you know, we'll facilitate all that in the precinct, get them connected to Metro, and then they can go on into the city and
that's
do other
amazing.
Things.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm very, very excited, and we invite people to participate. Rides will be free for 60 days, and then from then on, it'll cost you a big dollar. but we want to make sure that we are thinking about those little things that can make the world of difference for our community.
Well, I've talked to so many people who transportation has been the differentiator between their ability to work and or not work.
That's
or
correct.
To drive and not get there.
That's
because
right.
A lot of these folks, they don't get a car when they graduate.
Yeah,
right.
That's
they don't,
right.
You know, they don't get.
That's right.
They don't. That's not an option.
That's right.
And so
that's
it's
exactly right.
They graduate and there's no car.
Yeah.
And they got to find. And then the first one they get, they got to pay cash for it. And then they got to work their way up. And so the public transportation might be the very first step.
It
to,
is it,
changing
it is.
Their life. If it, you, I mean, you think of it that simply.
Yeah, you know, right? And I mean, I used it.
So cool.
And still use it today, but I recognize how. Meaningful it can be to one's quality of life, especially for those who are just pulling their bootstraps up and trying to get their lives going, can't afford that car just yet, and maybe the family can afford a car, but that's the one car for the entire family.
Right. Right.
So it limits the opportunities that a family could have.
Right. That's awesome. That's great stuff.
So we do want to shift gears a little bit and talk about charitable contributions, because I know you're very involved with some local charities.
Yes.
And you know, we kind of you got some listed on here, so can you share with us the charities you're involved
sure.
with?
Sure. Well, first of all, the precinct has a nonprofit attached to it, which is called Precinct 2 Together. And we facilitate programs and funding for things like our seniors programs and other benevolent causes in the area. But we also work with others like the Dolly Parton Imagination Library. We are partnered with them because education is another major part of me. It's, you know, when you ask me what is the single one important thing, it's healthcare, education, it's and jobs, you know, and they're all in one.
Yeah. Right.
And so partnering with
the well, it's quality of life, right?
Yes,
all falls under quality of life.
And look, you know, I'm a firm believer that if we can encourage more parents to read to their children early in their age, that it creates an incredible kid that's gonna, you know, be a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
And but we got to get those books to those families. And that is that partnership that we're going to be having with them. And so we're excited. And then coupled with the fact that, you know, having looked at all these respective events that have occurred along the ship channel, you know, I mentioned ITC, we had Kemco, we had ExxonMobil, we had other challenges out there. We recognize that, you know, we are neighbors to each other, industry and community. And so we have to be mindful of that and protect each other. And so I am excited about the partnership with the Manufacturers Association, the East Harris County Manufacturers Association, and where they're going to provide Precinct 2 a $1 million grant.
Wow, nice.
Yes, first time it's ever happened. And I'm excited because it's going to allow us to invest into permanent air monitors, portable air monitors, and and some education to the community. But you know, this came out of the ITC tragedy, in that people were saying, you know, I'm going to send my kid to school, but is it safe? Or my kid's at school, and should they be there? We couldn't have that answer, and the technology that we do have was a little outdated, and we had some challenges getting the right readings out of it. So this will allow us to partner with them to provide effective information, timely information to the citizens, and demonstrate that, you know what, industry is a partner in this. We're working together. They recognize that we're neighbors to one another, and we got to be mindful and supportive of each other.
Yeah, we've had a number of people from the chemical plants, refineries on our show before, and you know, they do really care about their impact to the local community.
Yeah, exactly.
And they live here too.
That's right.
So
that's exactly right.
They want to go home safe.
That's
they want
right.
to breathe clean air too.
That's exactly right.
So it really keep the waters clean. I mean,
that's right.
It is important.
That's right.
So
I'm excited about this. I'm very grateful to them for their partnership, and again, it is the first of its kind to ever happen in Harris County, and I am excited to be a part of it.
That's fantastic.
They recently had their Petrochem Works golf tournament too,
yep.
And I know they raised a lot of scholarships at that opportunity.
Yep.
So it's one of my favorite golf events I go to all year.
I love it.
They usually have students at the holes.
Yeah.
And so it's just a really good time because the site owners that are coming through, they actually get to talk directly with the students that are going to be hiring.
Yeah.
So
he's the only guy I know who likes to go to more golf tournaments to volunteer than to actually play golf. But I love it.
Yeah, hey, I'll go with you. I'm a good golf cart driver.
Yeah.
Being a volunteer and you know, driving the golf carts for the golfers is the only time you can drink and drive legally.
Right. So. There you go.
He drives, I drink. Before we shift gears out of that, because we're talking about the spirit of giving back service, you touched up earlier, and it really just struck a chord. I want to make sure we circle back about getting some of the inmates and creating opportunities for them.
Yeah.
And the reason why I hit on that is because for a lot of these guys and gals and people who end up in the system, I'm an advocate for an organization called Youth for Christ, and inside of that organization they work with the kids that are coming throughout the juvenile system. So when we pick up with these kids when they get out, what you see in a lot of situations is really it's you know, I see a behavior and I just emulate what I see, and then you know, so I end up in the system and then I stay in the system.
Yep.
And so we're talking about what you just described. I'd love to hear a little bit more, because what you said sounded like something that was pretty impactful. But more importantly, we're talking about a generational impact.
Exactly.
You get these guys into jobs, we're talking about a whole change for their kids and their kids' kids that maybe they never got to see. I'd love to hear.
That's correct. And I'll just say, look, I always tell people when they ask me about my, you know, my background, I grew up in a tough neighborhood. Where tough things happen, and so I have seen at an early age what, you know, environment can do to an otherwise person, a good person that has a lot of potential. Dear friends who were incredible athletes got caught up in circumstances that took them off of a promising track, and so I've always been cognizant of the fact that we need to be supportive as much as we ought to be for law enforcement. We ought to be for second chances where appropriate.
Sure.
And so when I was a sheriff, I made sure that individuals were graduating from the county jail, that they were leaving the county jail having graduated from a GED class, that they were receiving certifications in certain vocational trades.
Mm-hmm.
These were individuals that were nonviolent. These were individuals that made some dumb mistakes, but I felt that providing this opportunity for them would give them an opportunity to find a good job that would keep them from being a knucklehead again. And you know what I found was that in the time that we were doing the program, as we restructured, that we found from, because the partner is the Houston Community College system, and we found that about 500 people from that time period had enrolled into HCC since leaving the county jail.
Wow.
So that's 500 people
that
don't want to come back. And they saw the opportunity, the value in it. And so I was
excited. Advantage of it.
Yes.
That's great.
And then, you know, I also did something that was also non-conventional, and that was I hosted job fairs inside the county jail. Because we tell people, you pay your debt to society, don't go do that bad thing you did again. But then we don't open the door quickly for people who have some criminal history.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to encourage, and it was really industry type of businesses, construction companies and welding companies, to come in and talk to some of these inmates that were in this program and see who may be a good candidate for their respective company.
Right.
And folks were getting jobs, and I was very excited about that. And then lastly, it was, you know, I created a program through the example of a young lady by the name of Kathy Griffin. She was a backup singer to some of our most famous pop singers. And unfortunately, things got her distracted. She ended up on the streets of Houston, got arrested for drugs and prostitution. But she put her life together. And she came to me and she says, I think I can help impact the lives of other women. So she created a program through my support called Been There, Done That. And prior to this program, the recidivism rate for women who had been arrested for prostitution was 70%. 70% of the women were coming back through the system.
Mm-hmm. Right.
After we put her program in place, it's been 20%.
Nice.
Wow.
She
That's amazing.
Flipped and improved the numbers. And now TDC is leveraging her program as well. I'm very proud of her, very excited for her. But it speaks to the human capital that we have in these jails that still can be, still can contribute to our society. But the other side, as you mentioned, is that some of them have family. And if we don't impact their lives, then we might as well start fitting their kids for jumpsuits in the county jail.
Right.
And so we have to break that cycle.
That's
right.
Awesome. Such a huge impact. It's generational.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Exactly.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Anything else that you want to ask?
I do want to throw just a small softball pitch to you. Little curveball. But, you know, obviously you're doing all these impactful things. What kind of motivates you? What drives you?
You know, if not by the grace of God, there go I. You know,
Amen.
As I said, I grew up in a tough neighborhood, and I had a lot of friends who got arrested, a lot of friends who died at, you know, when I was in middle school. One of my football teammates was the first gunshot victim I ever heard about. And so, you know, I see this, and I also think about the potential that they had things been different for them. And, you know, one of my teammates, incredible football, baseball, basketball athlete, got caught up in the circumstances and could have otherwise been, I think, a professional athlete, that talented. And so I hate seeing that happen to these folks. And so I've always been compelled to try to do things that will prevent that from occurring, and then hold those accountable who are encouraging that to happen.
Right.
Great answer.
Awesome.
Thank you for sharing.
Unbelievable.
That. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, well, we always like to wrap up with an attitude of gratitude. I mean, I'm grateful just for your sharing that. I think we always add that piece to the show, and I think for some people it might be fluff, but for me, I think it's really critical for people to get to see behind the scenes and kind of see the heart of the people that are serving our government and serving our citizens, because they don't always see that.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank you for being transparent and sharing that part
thank
of your
you.
Journey with
thank
us.
You.
But we always go around the horn and just wrap up something that we're thankful for, and I'd love to turn the ball to you first, and then I'll give
thank
my
you.
Gratitude.
Well, I am grateful. I still have my dear mother. She is 95.
Wow, that's
and,
awesome.
And my dad, I lost him after my first election to city council. But my parents were immigrants. I'm the only American born in my family. And I think about the struggles and the sacrifices and the challenges that they took on that allowed me and my brothers and my sister to have the life that we have today. So I'm very, very grateful to my parents. And similarly, look, I don't do this by myself. I do give back a great deal to the community that I support and work for. And it comes at a sacrifice sometimes to my own family. So I'm grateful to my wife and daughter for their support in allowing me to do what I do and what I enjoy. And then, you know, I don't do this by myself. I've got great team members as a part of every office that I've held, whether it be city council, the sheriff's office, and now in the commissioner's office. There is a team member digging somebody's ditch in somebody's neighborhood today. There is a
wow.
team member making sure that the parks are pristine and enjoyable for you to go. There's a team member making sure that we're educating your children. There's a team member working on these health projects. And so I'm very grateful to all of these men and women that are making my work possible. And then lastly, I'll just say that you know, there's so many people that I don't know. And yet, from it, whether it be an event that I was at yesterday, or others that I've attended, or just being in restaurants and grabbing a bite to eat, people walk up and say thank you. And so I'm grateful to you because it makes me feel like I am doing something right, and I appreciate that folks recognize at least the effort. May not be perfect, I don't presume to be, but I appreciate that you recognize the effort that my staff and I are making on your behalf, and it's always with the best intentions. And you know, I'm still a work in progress, so every day is an effort to do more and to be better, and that's how I'm focused. So I'm grateful.
Well, there's only been one of us who was ever perfect, so
amen.
Yeah. And we're not it.
Yeah.
So, but I appreciate that. I think we talked a little bit about before the cameras turned on, but my gratitude goes to those, to our police officers,
yes,
to our firefighters,
yes.
local sheriffs.
Yeah.
These are people who sacrifice their lives and run to the fight.
Yep.
As you said, and even those in our armed forces. So I probably have said that a few times, and it seems kind of like a standard, you know, PO to thank those folks, but really should be. It should be every single day we wake up and say, man, I'm thankful because I can come home and be safe in our great country and our
That's
local
correct.
Cities because I have people out there willing to protect and sacrifice their lives for me and my family. So thank you to you guys.
For me, you know, I actually made a post earlier this week on LinkedIn. I like to put little thought leadership pieces out, and if you're hearing my voice, you are not insignificant. You matter to somebody.
That's right.
So, you know, I'm grateful to the people that encourage others and reach out there and tell them, hey, you matter. You do make a difference. No matter how insignificant you may feel at times, you do matter. So just want to tell people that I appreciate those that reach out to others and share that message.
That is beautiful.
Awesome.
And can I add this? You know, yesterday we had an event with many of our senior citizens in the precinct. And we thought about having, you know, we had Art Roscone, the Channel 13 anchor. And we're trying to be real thoughtful about getting some, you know, real dynamic, you know, popular person to be the keynote. And I said, you know, this is the season of Christmas. This is a season of giving. You know, I want to make sure that we do not lose sight of what the season's about. And so we reached out to the to one of our department directors in the county that works with foster children and other kids that are in the system. And Sarah Pinion was our keynote. She had been a foster child for 6 years and has now living a great life. She wants to give back to the community. But it was important for me to have someone like her share her story. It was a little difficult for her, obviously. But I want to make sure that if there is a child that's hearing her, to let them know that there is a light. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Don't let the environment consume you. And she shared a beautiful quote, but then I shared this one with her, and that was that don't let yesterday consume so much of today.
Right. Yeah.
And let's move forward, persevere, but you know, stretch your wings and fly.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's a great way. I can't end better than that. So, as always, we thank our guests. We thank I think my co-host. We thank the Economic Alliance for all their work in putting on the show and helping us get it together. We want to also reach out to our audience and encourage you to always give us feedback. You can reach out to us on our LinkedIn pages, the actual Economic Alliance website, LinkedIn page, their Facebook page, and you're always Commissioner Garcia. If they want to reach out to you or to your
sure.
organization. How do we contact you?
On Twitter, it is Harris, COPCT, number 2. My Facebook page is Harris County Precinct, number 2, all spelled out. My personal page is Adrian Garcia, HTX. That's my handle for Facebook, for Twitter, for Instagram. I'm working on Snapchat.
Big announcement.
Right. Big announcement. And our website to the precinct office is hcp2.com.
Nice. Awesome. And please, again, make sure you communicate and help tell the story. We're counting on you to help spread the word of the gospel of industry and what we're doing. And so we hope that you'd go out there and do that. And thank you for all that you do.
Thank you.
See you guys next week.